Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know what? Things will change because we are bringing on experts now. We're starting at the top.
Yes.
From The Athletic, from GM Shuffle Podcast, from Gridiron Genius.
Author of Gridiron
the
Genius.
Great Mike Lombardi is with us. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Angelo. How are you today? You holding up all right there?
No, we're not holding up right, Mike, and it's because of your stinking Patriots, all right? So can we go back to last Sunday and get your observations about the Eagles' loss to your team?
Well, I think we talked about it on the air. The Eagles' problems, in spite of that article in the paper about how their defense is just all about, you know, players that Schwartz picks, their defense has played really good. Think about this. The last three games, the Eagles' defense has given up under 6 yards per attempt in the passing game. That's remarkable. They've played really good. And, you know, they played the Patriots as good as you hold the Patriots to 17 points. You should be able to win the game. And I think the issue really has been all year for the Eagles, even in the first half of the Redskin game. If they don't make explosive plays down the field, it's hard to score points in the NFL. And they don't have enough explosive players on offense to make plays. Nobody respects the receivers enough to be able to field challenge. If you take Ertz away from the game and you put the pressure on someone else to have to be consistently able to execute, they just haven't been able to do it so far.
You know, it's amazing. Bill Belichick put his best cover guy, Gilmore, on Ertz, which really was – and Ertz still had a decent day, but no one else could do a damn thing, Mike. Mike, is it more an indictment? What you saw on Sunday, is it more an indictment of the wide receiver core or the guy that took all the heat this week, Carson Wentz?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think Wentz is clearly not having the year that he had the MVP season. His yards per attempt is 1.1 yard less than it was that year. That's significant. That's when that's what happens to guys like Eli Manning, older players, when their yards per attempt start trending down, that's not good. And in fairness, so is Brady's. Brady doesn't have enough juice in the outside to make plays and to be able to win and create matchups that favor him. So I think Wentz is, and I think the whole offense is struggling. I mean, look, that was not surprising that Bill would put his best recover guy on Ertz, because if you shut down Ertz in the game, then we talked about it on Friday. They didn't have Patrick Chung, and there was a good probability they were going to play Gilmore over there because they didn't have Chung. So I think that once you do that, where's the Eagles get their explosive plays from? Don't tell me Alshon Jeffrey, because he was hurt. No, I mean, Alshon's a good player. He's a jump ball receiver. He's averaged under 10 yards a catch this year. So it's not coming from him either.
All right, but Mike, you know how we could improve that quotient for yards per attempt? If Aguilar would catch that ball on the fourth down in the back of the end zone.
No doubt.
Catchable ball? How do you evaluate that play, Mike? Tell me what you're seeing.
I think that's a hard catch. I mean, the wind shifted, the ball kind of went over his wrong shoulder. He started to go to his left, the wind came over. That's a hard catch. I mean, the probability of making that catch is rather difficult. And for a guy that doesn't have great hands or doesn't have eye-hand coordination that's of the elite level, that's a challenge. I mean, look, this whole receiving corps has let Wentz down. I mean, go back to the game they lost against Detroit, 7 drops in that game. Whiteside's got a chance to tie the game in the end zone. The ball hits him right between the numbers, and he drops it. I mean, this has been a year-long pattern for the Eagle receivers that hasn't really been solved.
All right, so what I'm hearing here, Mike, and this was your job for many years in the NFL, Howie Roseman did not arm the Eagles' offense deeply enough at the wide receiver position, and the Eagles are paying the price right now. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is he counted on players that haven't come through. I mean, look, you know, you draft Whiteside, right? What did they draft Whiteside? What round? I mean, they draft Whiteside early. Mac Hollins, you know, in the fourth round. They're counting on these guys to come through. And I think there is the fault of the evaluation. I think that there it is. I mean, if you're counting on you draft Hollins in the fourth round, you draft Whiteside in the second round, right? You're counting on those guys to be players, and they're not. All of a sudden, you've counted on Deshaun Watson to be a player. He got hurt. Well, you know, Deshaun Watson's an older player. When you count on older players and they get hurt, don't be surprised. Like, don't be surprised. Malik Jackson got hurt. It's not a surprise older guys get hurt. That's just what happens in the NFL. And I think that that's something you have to take a look at. And when you count on a guy and he can't play, that's the fault of the evaluation.
All right. While we're on evaluation, Mike, you got in a bit of a scuffle yourself this week. I'm not even sure if you know it, with Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer. And basically what happened was, in a piece that Jeff did over last weekend, he had inside sources indicating that Jim Schwartz was responsible for many of the draft selections and free agent acquisitions on defense, and that Howie Roseman was basically saying, if there's something wrong with these players, it's Jim, it's not me. You felt that story was a plant. Am I right about that, Mike?
I think that was a horrible story. I mean, and horrible enough because Jeff wrote it. I think Jeff has to write that, right?
Right.
I think I wasn't mad at Jeff for writing that. I think, to me, as an organization, you can't let that come out. That's not something that, especially playing a game against a team, and you've got this internal fighting going on within your organization about who's doing this and who's doing what. I thought culturally, that was horrible for the organization.
But in your podcast, the implication was that Howie was behind that story. True?
Well, who else could be behind it? Who else could?
It didn't paint Howie in a good light, though.
No. He didn't come across looking that good because it looked like he was a puppet for his defensive coordinator. No?
Well, but he's also looking like, look, I did what the coaches want me to do. You know, what could I do? You know, I'm letting the coaches have their say. That's how guys at personnel get away with it. They say, hey, look, this is, you know, the coaches wanted it. My job is to make sure they get the players they want, you know, and so I went ahead and did it.
All right. Well, anyway, Jeff McClain responded to that. Here's what he said to us earlier in the week, Mike.
It's almost ludicrous for him to suggest that Howie was behind the story. Howie certainly wouldn't be behind the story because, one, I quoted him by saying that he didn't respond to commenting when I contacted a team source, a team spokesman. And two, this doesn't really reflect very well upon Howie Roseman.
No.
He's deferring to Jim Schwartz. So yep. I don't even know what Mike Lombardi's talking about. Mike isn't very plugged in as much as he thinks he is. In fact, I think he said something recently that Marnie Morningweg about Lamar Jackson wanted him to be a receiver or whatever and just didn't cite anything as well. So, I mean, that's just Mike blowing his horn.
All right. Do you have a response to Jeff McClain, Mike Lombardi?
Well, you know, look, I think I'm pretty well plugged in. If you like, I could read a few of Marty Morningweg's reports from his time at the Eagles on his evaluation of Russell Wilson. I could read a report about what he said about Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to embarrass Marty anymore. I've made my statement on that, and I will. I think I'm pretty well plugged into what I hear and what I read. I mean, I didn't say I had a source about this article. I just said I interpret this article the way I did. That's not, even though you may think it doesn't sound very good, where is he getting that column from? Who else could possibly give him that
scouts?
Column? Who? Huh?
The scouts who weren't listened to? I mean, I'm just offering other alternatives.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe some of the scouts that weren't offered to, but I mean, to me, I think it's truly about an article that makes it look like, especially when you're getting ready to play a game against a team that's really good, and then your defense comes out and plays well, how does that make you look?
Valid counter-argument, for sure, Mike. Mike, let's get to this game. Are the Seahawks a bigger challenge for the Eagles than the Patriots were?
Well, they're a much bigger challenge because offensively they're playing much better than New England was. New England just really doesn't have their thing going. Now, Seattle's offensive line hasn't played very well. Mm. They haven't been playing very well, but Russell Wilson compensates for a bad offensive line by his ability to move around and make plays, and they have been very good at doing that, and they're always in close games. This is back to the time when, in 2014, where they've dominated games in the fourth quarter. They're able to play games late in the game because they just are resilient. Now, they're getting better on defense. That's the concern. Their defensive front against San Francisco played their best game of the season, so there's no doubt about that. And I think that this will be a challenging game for them because their defensive line of the Eagles has got to control this quarterback in the pocket.
How do you do that?
Plays.
How do you do
that? You have to keep him in front of you. You can't run past the quarterback. The worst place to be in football is past the quarterback. He's yet to turn and run that way. So all these guys that run upfield, they think, oh, I just ran past the quarterback. I almost got him. It's one of the worst rushes in football. You got to keep him in front of you, and you got to make sure that he doesn't escape the pocket, go in and out. And I think you got to coordinate your rush. I mean, I think the Patriots, one of the first things that they did after the first quarter was try to be at better at coordinating the rush against Wentz so he didn't get out. Like the first drive of the game where he throws that little check down to Ertz, they had him sacked and he got out. I think you have to correct that. And I think this is what Philadelphia has to do. They can't let this guy get out of the pocket and make throws. When it becomes a schoolyard game with Russell Wilson, he's the leader in the clubhouse when it does that.
You know what you're just, I want to get Alan on it.
Yes.
Al, do you know what Mike is just saying here? Right now, at this moment in time,
yeah.
No, that a bigger challenge is taking care of Russell Wilson than the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he said. You're saying that, right, Mike? Right now, at this moment, Brady at 42, right?
The way it's set up with the Patriots offensively, I mean, the Patriots, and I said this at the time, when they signed Antonio Brown, that was not a luxury, that was a need.
Yeah.
Now, if you put Antonio Brown on that field, Sanu got hurt last week, and Philip Dorsett, I mean, their offensive tackle at left tackle, Isaiah Wynn, wasn't playing. If he would have played, it would have made things better, but they just are not very good offensively, and I think it shows. I mean, their yards per attempt is way down than what it's been in over the last couple of years, and it's reflective. I think they're winning unlike any other time that they've won. They're winning with their defense. That's not typical of New England.
All right, moment of truth, Mike, and before you make your pick, you should be aware of the fact that I have guaranteed for the second time this year an Eagles victory, all right? And that does not require a snicker, all right? That
I
is a serious
–
no, I that was a – I could play it back. All right, it was a snort. It was there was something about it that was derisive. All right, Mike Lombardi, Seattle at Philadelphia Sunday. What's going to happen?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Seattle, Philly came out the favorite. In my power rankings, I had Seattle as rated higher. I think this is a game the Eagles have to have. I think teams coming off a bye this year haven't really showed that they look very impressive. I mean, New Orleans off a bye loses at home to Atlanta. Last week there was Minnesota. There were other teams coming off the bye that I didn't think played very well. I think the bye sometimes stubs your toe. I think it's a must-win for Philly. I'm with you, Angelo. I think it's a close game. I think it's a three-point game. I think Philly will win it. They have to win it because they can't lose this because this is one of those games. You go 5-6, you got Miami next week. You can get it back. But to me, these NFC losses, especially in the way of the tightness of the races, I think it's pretty hard for them to overcome. So I'm going to go Philly here.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why the name of his book is Gridiron Genius.
Hmm.
Mike, thank you, because right now the poll might go the Seahawks' way among all our fans. Mike Lombardi, you're a god to this city. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Angelo.
Mike Lombardi goes Eagles.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.